the cosmos experiences accelerated evolution. When human life is transmuted by the mystic love that is true wisdom, when human existence orients and submits consciously to supreme unity as its own inner core. MashaAllah. So that submission is not to something exterior, but to something deeper within. So it's actually an entering. We could also speak of it as a deepening or a plunging deeper, a drowning or deepening in the self, in the true self, which abides within the core of every being or in the heart of all beings. Our human experience, elevated to its highest level during the 1001 luminous nights of mystical practice, culminates when the creature becomes transfigured by the unique light of essence. The fundamental principle of Sufi science is the aptitude of the human spirit to participate totally in divine essence. Logically and theologically impossible, this wedding between finite and infinite allows the aspirant to abandon the limited self completely in order to enter essential reality. This can occur only through the great ecstasy that lifts one beyond the conventional invocation of some divinity who remains separate or distant. Such ecstasy of insight liberates us from the ambiguous or conflictive situations that we illusorily identify as our own humanity. Such ecstasy unveils essence. Wow. So this is, again, Sheikh Noor's vision is so radical because it's based in the essence and it's based in the belief and the knowledge, wisdom knowledge, that we are of the essence and that we can enter the essence and be radiating, living the essence consciously. This is the essence of God, the essence of ultimate reality. But that it takes ecstasy, so it takes love. This is very interesting. This can occur only through the great ecstasy. That is through love. Love is the path into the essence. Love is the path of return. So sometimes we think of love as, you know, an extra on the spiritual path. You know, we think of the spiritual path as something serious, which it is, but, you know, we see it maybe as something more abstract or apart from our own human reality, but Noor is pointing to that our human reality is needing interpretation. That's what it needs, and that's what the prophets have come for. That's what the holy books are about, to interpret our being, our physical, spiritual being, and reveal God through our own lens, because as it is said, we ourselves are the face of God. We ourselves are our own door to God. We ourselves is what we will experience of God. We can only experience God through our own lens. Mm. But our lens is much, much vaster than we think of. You know, as we sit here in these bodies, you know, separate, distinct bodies, the self is, of course, much, much vaster than that. In fact, our self can encompass everything, all creation. So the human reality at its core has the entirety, is a universal englobing or a universal manifestation. It is not, I would say, a singular point separate from other singular points. It is the back merging into that seamless oceanic reality. So the path of Sufism is that, and it's traveled through love. And so love is the essence. Sometimes speak of the essence as love, the essence of love, or the love streaming from the essence. And we say that love is the reason for the creation, the manifestation of all of creation. So love is the essential reality, the essential sap and nectar of everything that is. So only when we dissolve into love and give ourselves to love can we actually experience the essence. Inshallah. Inshallah. So one more paragraph and then we'll enter into zikr. I mean, into our circle of zikr. The entering into essentiality called Sufism is not a solo flight into the heavens. So this is entering into essentiality called Sufism. So there Sheikh Noor gives a very clear definition of Sufism, is return to the essence. And maybe that is also what distinguishes it, what makes it, again, like a kind of nectar, as opposed to simply a fruit or a flower or a branch, you know, what we might call a religion. It's actually an essence. It is a beautiful, affectionate, kind manner of behaving with others in this world. So he's saying it's not just something that we live on our own. It is a beautiful, affectionate, kind manner of behaving with others in this world, in this moment, without depreciating or underestimating any living being, without encountering any wall of separation. Sufism is the aspiration to be essential, to possess entirety of character, inner coherence, capable of casting revelatory light upon everything that exists, gradually unveiling the true nature of everything. This is how Sufi science reveals the unique essence of the innumerable spheres of meaning, which are successive initiations displayed by the One. This transcendent science does not negate natural phenomena, but simply knows that meanings are rooted not outside, but always inside the One. The plenitude of being contemplated by this science excludes all lack of meaning, all sense of profanation or impurity, all failure of communication among the infinite dimensions of being. Sufism refuses nothing, with the exception of the empty pretension of being something or someone independent or distinct from the living One. So there, it almost seems to encompass the entirety of life. So you could say the entirety of existence is Sufism. And as we know, existence is perfect as it is. And usually for us to see perfection, we have to remove ourselves, take a distance, and then we can see the patterns of things. It's very interesting that on our own normal level of perception, we don't necessarily see patterns, except, of course, in a work of art. But when we go back, we begin to see, you know, shapes and regularities and structures. And so this life as a whole, this existence as a whole, is absolutely perfect. And this is, again, prophetic teaching, Quranic teaching. There's not a flaw in the entirety of creation. And yet when we look from our own life experience, we see so many flaws. We see them in ourselves, we see them in others, we see them in our life experience. You know, why couldn't this happen and not that? But that means that we're living our life without wisdom. We're not using the wand of wisdom to interpret our life, because we are told as dervishes to accept life as it comes to us and to interpret it as it comes to us, as the, coming from the All Merciful and being a mercy. And so, you know, of course we discern, discriminate. So if someone hands us a plate of dates, I mean, we take one, we're not going to have to eat the whole plate. Or if someone keeps insisting, no, eat more, well, we know somewhere we have that guidance. There's a, no, well, I've had enough. Or, you know, we know to when to cross the street, and all these things that, by which we are guided. Ultimately, we are simply being guided. When our faculties of intelligence are themselves reflections from the source of guidance. Ultimately, we are simply a ray of light that continues eternally, shining and moving and expanding and reflecting in different ways. So we are this moving ocean that... So mystics have experienced that completely, a total passivity, a total, that they are not doing anything. And yet, on another level, we are discerning, discriminating, choosing, preferring, knowing, not knowing, hoping, and all of that. But that is simply part of the flow of this great life that can be defined as a Sufi reality. So Sufi reality is ultimately the life of God and the manifestation of God. And how each of us and each being lives in God in the way that is most beautiful. So there is a journey, there is learning, there is improving, perfecting. Again, but that is relative. That is relative. Ultimately, everything is simply God praising God, the essence praising itself through all the countless life forms and life streams. And so that's so awesome if we contemplate that, take more of our day for contemplation and for entering states of awe when we, you know, take a bigger look at our life and at the life of the universe and of beyond the universe, all the universes. Think of that, all the universes, all of the beings within all of the universes. Everything praising the One, everything simply a praise and a ray from the One. And all of this one life, all of this one being. And that we've been given the ability as human beings to be that lens, that seeing eye of all of this is so extraordinary that we could never thank the Source enough. We can never thank the Source enough. Alhamdulillah. So, and that too. So we've not even have the capacity to give thanks for all that is given to us. And yet, we can praise and thank. So let's join and give prayers and thanks in our zikr circle tonight. Alhamdulillah. So we'll have a little break. You can have some tea but please keep this contemplative mode, because we've come here to be with God, and this is the house of God. We've entered in here as guests, each one of us as a guest. Of course, we've entered into the world as guests of God. But, you know, we might not always realize that. We're guests here. We're travelers, visitors. Our perception is manifested from, almost like a projected out from the essence, and but its true place, we are always located in the essence. That's where our reality is, in the essence of God. So it's almost as though we come here on earth, but earth is not like a separate place. Earth is a field of experience in God, a field of manifestation in God. And we want to plant the most beautiful seeds here, and we want to experience and learn the most we can here and transform here. This is what it's for. This is what this field is for. And it will not last. So there is no point in building big castles on the earth, but building the castle within and offering to each other. And we do that in part by helping each other. So, alhamdulillah. Good. So as I said, let's, inshallah, we keep this beautiful inner contemplation as we move about, and even if we want to greet each other, but in this gracious way. So.